Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website, Sunday Morning Alive. Amen. Hallelujah. This is not live from one of our services. This is alive because that it is the Word of God, the living Word of God, the life-giving Word of God. Jesus said it, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life." So today let's get in the living Word of God. I want to bring you a message today that I pray will help you if you have ever stumbled, if you have ever fallen, if you have ever failed God in your life. I want to talk to you today and teach you something from the Word of God, amen, that will help you get back to God, back in service for God if you have fallen away from Him, amen. Listen, friend of mine, there is forgiveness with God that He might be feared. It sounds like that's a scripture, by the way, that He might be honored, that He might be revered. Hallelujah. That there is a God that is so very holy and yet loves us so very much that He made a way for us to get back to Him, even though through Adam's fall and it's passed on generation to generation to generation. This failure in the Garden of Eden would have been completely the end of humanity, and all hope of being saved would have been lost had it not been for a God who loved this fallen world and all the people in it enough to give His Son on a cross to pay our sin debt so that we could be reconciled unto Him. All we like sheep, the Bible said, have gone astray, but God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I'm glad God made a way back to Himself. The God that we failed, the God that we failed to honor and obey, and yet He loved us this much that He would give His Son for us, that Christ would die for us so that we could have a way back even though we have failed. Listen, friend of mine, today I know. I want to talk to you about learning from our failures. And I know, I want to state this clearly, I know we're never supposed to ever fail. I know that. I understand that. I know there's a hyper-faith message out there that says if you can just build your faith strong enough, you can overcome everything. You will never need to lean harder on the Lord because of your great faith in the Lord. I understand that, but we're seeing leaders, Christian leaders, fail today. We're seeing praise leaders. We're seeing people in the gospel music industry fail. Is there any way back for them? Can they come back to God? Can they possibly be restored? And can we learn, if we have failed, can we learn from our failures and become even stronger in the Lord? Amen. I pray, amen, that none of us will ever fail. None of us will ever fail in any way in our walk with the Lord, our faith in the Lord, our faithfulness to the Lord. But what if we did? What if we did? Amen. Listen, friend of mine, too many people are failing for us not to look into the Word of God and see what it has to say to us so that if someone does fail, they can rise up better instead of bitter, stronger, instead of weaker. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, the Bible says of those who have this attitude of, I'm standing, look at me. Peter had that. Peter had that. He failed, but he had that attitude. When Jesus said, one of you is going to fail me, listen, and he said, well, they might. Yeah, they might. They might. I don't trust them either. But I won't. I won't. And Jesus looked at him in this arrogant type of faith and confidence in his own resolve to never deny the Lord, never fail the Lord, in his enthusiasm. Amen. Listen, when a man says, "Behold, I stand," that's exactly what Peter was saying. They might fail you. They're weak. They're unstable. But I will never fail you. And Jesus looked right back into Peter's heart. Not just, he didn't pay any attention to those words or that quote-unquote confession of faith, when really he was going to fail him more visually, visible, and verbally than any of the rest of them. Remember when Jesus said to him before the cock crows in the morning, "You will have denied me 3 times. And Peter must have thought, "Ha, ha, ha, no siree. That's a bad confession, and you'll never hear that out of my lips." Well, you shouldn't say you're going to fail. But what if you find yourself in a weakened circumstance, in a weak moment, and you do fail? Is there a way back? And can you learn from your failure? Listen, there's an arrogant pride resident in all our flesh. I want to say that loud and clear this morning. There is an arrogant pride resident in all our flesh that wants to take credit for our victories and not give grace and mercy from God the credit due them, or to give Jesus Christ the credit due Him. And yet the Bible says, apart from Him, yes, He gives us victory. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Certainly He gives us victory. But listen very carefully this morning. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. And the Apostle Paul said, with all of his victories, he wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He had an out-of-body experience, saw unutterable things in heaven. He finished his course and died a faithful martyr for Christ. Hallelujah. And yet he said, not that we are sufficient as of anything in ourself, for our sufficiency is of the Lord, which he's just simply saying we're all sufficient in His sufficiency. And that's what he meant when he said, "I can do all things." Listen, because of the power and person of the Holy Spirit? No, he didn't say that. He contributes to that, of course. But he said, "I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." And it literally means I'm equal to anything. And here's some of the things that only through the grace of God and only through the wonderful presence of God in our life, through the Holy Spirit. He said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the trouble that we experienced in Asia." I'm so glad he was open. He was honest. He was transparent about what he was going through and how it affected him and how he became better because of it instead of bitter because of it. He said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the trouble that we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure and despaired of life itself." They were absolutely overwhelmed by the persecution that they were experiencing, to the point that they didn't even think they were going to live to see another day. Amen. They despaired of life itself. Listen, it's not over, that we might learn not to trust in ourself, but God who raises the dead, that we might learn not to trust in ourself, but in God who raises the dead. Let's go back and look at Peter in Matthew 26 and verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. This is after he swore with an oath and said, "I never knew him." He remembered the words of Jesus which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly, literally violently. This word metamorphically meant poignant grief. This was a deep grief, as a metaphor for a deep, deep grief that caused him to weep violently. Listen, friend, many times our failures can bring us, if we learn from them, I want to put that in parenthesis, if we learn from them, that can bring us to a deeper dependence on God. Amen. As Paul put it, we learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. That's a lesson we don't learn until we come to an end of ourselves. Amen. Listen, friend, there are too many Christians, when God gives them the victory through the person and power of the Holy Spirit, through the grace and mercy of God that He grants to us. Amen. That we want somehow to take some, at least some, dare I say, any of the credit for it belongs to God. Many years ago, I don't know his name. I don't remember. That's not so important. But the man from America who climbed Mount Everest and planted the American flag on the summit, he on Time and Newsweek magazine and newspapers and newscasts, his picture was posted and his name was exalted. But in the actual story, it is said that he almost made it to the summit when he became exhausted from the trek up the mountain and the thin air on the mountain. And the Sherpa guide, the man who knew the mountain, lived in that kind of circumstance and was used to it and had a stamina to be his guide up that mountain, that he actually went to the summit, reached down, and pulled him up so he could plant the flag. Whose picture should have really been on the magazine? Oh, yes, of course he did it, but did anybody? I don't even know his name, and I should, but listen, even if I did, I don't know the man's name who pulled him up. But he couldn't have done it without that man. And I'll tell you something, we can't do it without that man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Not that we are sufficient as of anything ourself is of ourself, for our sufficiency is of the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, we have this treasure in verse 7, but we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not ourselves. This old flesh is an earthen vessel. Can I at least get agreement on that? And we will never, ever learn this lesson that we need to learn. The Apostle Paul was in danger of this resident pride within our flesh. He asked the Lord three times to get a buffeting spirit that through circumstances and people always came strong against him. Amen. He prayed God would remove it. It's impeding my ministry. It's in the way of me fulfilling your calling. And heaven was silent. Heaven was silent. And Paul is questioning, and God spoke to him finally and said, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Come on, somebody give me an amen. No, we don't go around weak. I'm full of power by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely, we are, but it's only because of grace that the Holy Spirit could even be given to us. And you'll never, and I'll never, and anyone else will never, ever discover the sufficiency of grace until we come to an end of ourself. Listen to how Paul included himself. He said, we are cast down, 2 Corinthians 4, but we're not forsaken. We are cast. Paul, are you kidding me? Cast down? Come on. He should have read somebody's book, listened to somebody's sermon, right? What's wrong with him? Where's his faith? Cast down. How dare he include himself and say, we are cast down. Well, he's the one that said, we were pressed beyond measure, amen, that we might learn not to trust in ourself, amen, but in God who raises the dead. Listen, we are cast down, but we're not forsaken. That's the key to victory when we are cast down. Him who said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even to the end of the age. We are persecuted. Chased as a deer is this connotation of this word. It means the enemy is out to hunt you down and kill you and me if he could. But we are not destroyed. Why are we not destroyed? Amen. Because we have built our faith to such a level that our shield absorbs all the fiery arrows and darts that he fires at us. Honey, our shield is not just our faith. It and the power of that faith, it is the person that we have faith in, looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Thou, O Lord, we used to sing it, it's a psalm. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Thou, O Lord, are my glory. And when I'm cast down, you're the lifter of my head. Glory to God. Amen. We're perplexed. Amazing. We who are spirit-filled and know the Bible, and amen, there are times when we are perplexed. We don't know which way to turn. The Apostle Paul didn't know where to go sometimes. He said he prayed about it, and that night, as he prayed, he got ready to go to Asia, and the Lord suffered him not. The Lord shut that door. It wasn't the devil. It was the Lord shut the door. He didn't want him in Asia. He saw many great opportunities possibly to win souls in Asia. But the Lord said, that's not for now. That's not where I want you to be. So he shut the door. And he essayed, that means prepared, to go to Bithynia. The Lord suffered him not. He said no. So he's perplexed. He's perplexed. But thank God he's not in despair. Because he knows if he will just be still and hear the voice of the Lord and heed the voice of the Lord and see what God really has to say. And God decided, not because he demanded it, but because he saw his heart desire to be obedient to the Lord. He waited in God's presence, and that God gave him a dream, and he said, there was an Ethiopian man. He said, come over here and help us. He was primed and ready to receive the good news of the grace of God in Ethiopia. And that's where Paul made a beeline from where he was at that time. Amen. The door that God opened to him to go praise God and preach the gospel of grace. That's one reason I ended up at the Holy Church of God, where I've been the pastor, president, director for the last 53 years and counting. Amen. I did not want to pastor. I wanted to evangelize. Man, I wanted to go in and preach and take off. Go home and eat some carrot cake and watch some TV. No. God wanted me to feed his flock, to stay with them, to get the smell of the sheep on me like a real shepherd that eats and sleeps with the sheep. And so I remember going to church, and the pastor of the church, getting ready to leave the church, came up to me and said, God showed me that a man would come to take over the pastorate here. He had a wife and two children. And I thought in my heart, well, when he shows up, I'm sure you will be glad to be released. When he gets here, that will be great. Amen. And so I thought, could it possibly be me, my wife, and my two children? Could that be that God doesn't want me to evangelize or do missionary work? He wants me to pastor this little church in the inner city, in a tough neighborhood. He wanted me to leave Tampa Electric and step out by faith, sell what little bit of mobile home on a little acre I had, and live in a broke down parsonage until God could give me something more, but take it on those terms by faith. My Lord, I needed confirmation. So I put out a fleece. God won't allow that very often, but he allowed me to do it. There's a precedent for it in the scripture. I put out a fleece and I said, Lord, tonight, if you want me to accept the pastorate of this church, if you want me to leave my job and go full time someday here, Lord, I want you to do exactly what you did for Paul. I want something to be said in the sermon or in the singing or in a prophecy, an interpretation, a prophecy or a tongues and interpretation about the Ethiopian man saying, come over here and help us. That will be my fleece. That will be my answer. I thought I'd made it pretty hard, pretty clear that wasn't going to happen. And I sat there through the service. Amen. Associate minister preached, or maybe the pastor preached. I don't recall. And I thought, I didn't hear one word about the Ethiopian man saying, come over and help us, like he did to Paul. I'm off the hook. Amen. And we got down to the end of the service, and the song leader said, I feel led of the Lord to sing one more song. Turn in your hymnals to the whatever number it was, and we're going to sing, Send the Light, Send the Gospel Light, Let It Shine Forevermore. I thought, well, that's a good evangelistic song. Amen. That's what I want to do. I want to be an evangelist for the Lord, missionary for the Lord, bringing the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ through the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. That's a good song. I was singing it out loud till it came to one of the verses that said, I have heard the Ethiopian man's call today. Send the light. Send the light. Hallelujah. I've heard the Ethiopian man's call. Send the light. Is that specific? Amen. As Popeye would say, what a coinkadink. No, that wasn't a coincidence, dear friend. It was God answering a fleece through a song, right at the end of a service, when I thought I was off the hook, and now I'm on the hook, because I wanted to obey God, even though I knew there would be a cost, there would be a pressure that would be brought to bear, and it did cost in many, many ways, me and my family. But I'm going to tell you, there are souls in the kingdom because I answered the call, not of the Ethiopian man, not of the person in Sulphur Springs, Florida, and that neighborhood in this city of Tampa and surrounding areas. Listen, it was the call of Jesus Christ, amen, to this place in ministry. I'm glad that I answered the call, amen. Hallelujah. I wasn't looking to disobey. In my heart of hearts, I wanted to be where God wanted me to be. Amen. And bloom where I was planted. So that's where God planted me. And 53 years and counting. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm still planted in this city, in this state. But thank God the gospel that is preached in this city and this state goes through the internet to the nations of the world. I don't know where you're hearing this sermon today, but I'm going to tell you something. You may be a minister. You may have failed the call of God. You may have started out in ministry and you may have fallen in some way, in some sin. Amen. But listen to this very carefully. There's a way back. There's a way back. Listen, you are not a failure because you fail as a Christian. No, you're not a failure because you fail. You become a failure when you fail to learn from your mistakes and get up and go on with confidence in God's love and grace and forgiveness. You may have wept bitterly like Peter. Aren't you glad there was a way back for Peter? Many times our failures can bring us to a deeper dependence on God, a deeper appreciation of His grace and mercy, a greater capacity to show mercy and grace to others. Peter was in danger of utter defeat. He failed miserably. How astonished he must have been when Mary said on resurrection morn, "Tell the disciples and Peter personally, I am risen." How overwhelmed he must have been when Christ cooked fish for this hurting man who said, "I go a fishing. I'm no good to fish for souls, but I can fish for fish. I'm going back to my old vocation." But Jesus cooked fish on the bank. How humbled he must have been when Jesus asked if he loved him. And he said, "Feed my sheep," to him. Peter was changed from a bitter man to a better man. Someone said there's no failure so great as a Christian that does not rise from it. Dr. Erwin Lutzer said, "Those who have failed miserably are often the first to see God's formula for success." The Apostle Paul, when he discovered the sufficiency of God's grace, amen, he said, "I get it now. I get it now. There was an emissary from Satan sent to buffet me, lest I be lifted up above measure." Lest I fall into that arrogant pride of self-sufficiency. And every time he gained a victory, he gave the glory to Christ. He gave the glory to the grace of God. He went so far as to say, "Whatever I am for God, whatever I've accomplished for God, it is because of the grace of God that I am what I am." Thank God for the grace and mercy that sustained him and will sustain us and restore us. If you have failed, if you have fallen away, if you have faltered, there is a way back. And it is calling upon the Lord in a total, absolute dependence on His grace, mercy, and forgiveness, and discovering the power and strength that He offers us because of that grace and our leaning on Him and looking to Him like we never would or could had we not come to an end of ourselves and learned the lesson not to trust in ourself, even when God blesses us with victories, to never take the credit, to never be confident in our own competence, amen, just sufficient in His sufficiency, all sufficient in His sufficiency. Today, there's a way back. There's a way back. if you're away from God. And I pray that you will come back and not let a failure stop God's plan for you, purpose for you. He's not done with anybody. He could have quit Peter, and Peter would have quit God, gave up on anything concerning his walk with the Lord. But aren't you glad Peter found that way back through the grace that God gave him? Aren't you glad Paul discovered the power of grace and in the person of Jesus Christ, that he lived this wonderful, victorious life? All of the credit, all of the glory goes to God and to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Oh, today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I know something. I'm not going to tell you I know a secret, because it's no secret. The song said it. It's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He will do for you. I'll give you a verse from that song. It's an old song. It's no secret what God can do. The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others. Simon Peter and a host of others. David, King David. He'll do for you. He'll do for you. Amen. There's a way back because of the grace, because of the mercy, because of the goodness of God and His great love wherewith He loved us. So if you have never known Jesus and you're a sinner and you say, how could God forgive me? How could God ever love me, accept me? Oh, friend, this is the power of His love. This is the wonderful place of grace. For by grace we are saved. Through faith, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No one can brag about being saved. We received it as a free gift because of grace. Amazing grace. Astounding grace. So come to Jesus today. Come to Christ. Repent of your sin. And be saved by amazing grace. By a wonderful God and Savior Jesus Christ.